Good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, and we thank you for the invitation to come boldly to the throne of grace, and we thank you for the opportunity to come this morning and receive from you and to give back to you praises and thanksgiving from our hearts. And so lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the last couple of times we were in the book of Job, and so moving on after the book of Job is the book of Psalms, and Psalms is basically 150 prayers, so I don't know that we're going to go through 150, but I wanted to do some of them, and this morning I wanted to do Psalm 5, which you know that one very well, "Give ear to my words, O Lord," and we even have that song that, which we are familiar with, so let's open by singing that. The words are on the front, actually on the back as well. Psalm 5.
Unto thee and will
So as we look at the book of Psalms, we recognize it's kind of a hymn book, really, and it's really a book of pretty much prayer. And the first five Psalms specifically have a real contrast between the righteous and the wicked. There will be David contrasting the differences, basically, between the righteous and the wicked. And in Psalm 5, we have kind of an emphasis on early morning prayer, too, which has, I think, always been of interest to me. I think that's the best time to pray. Not everybody has that schedule or agrees, but we certainly see the Lord Jesus Christ using those early morning hours praying. And we see here David is praying an early morning prayer here, and it's basically a prayer for guidance. He begins, as we have just sung, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Give ear to my words, O Lord." So one of the things we see there are words in prayer, and he is asking the Lord to give ear to them. "Listen to my prayer, Lord." Now, the next statement is, consider my meditation. The word consider there, I think, is a pretty inclusive word. And that would include things such as, I don't know if my words have been all-inclusive. I don't know what I've missed, but Lord, would you kind of fill it in? And would you consider my meditation, which might be no words at all? I like what Mr. Spurgeon said about prayer in this regard, and particularly when we get to the point of, I will direct my prayer to you. He said, "Prayer without fervency is like hunting with a dead dog. And prayer without preparation is like hawking with a blind falcon." So as we pray, I think we should be spending some time with the Lord, asking him to direct our prayers. You know, sometimes we just start to pray and we don't even think about what we're praying. We're really not trying to accomplish any specific thing. We just open our mouth and start to pray. And there may be times for that as well. But if you really want the Lord to respond to your prayer, I think there has to be the fervency and there has to be some preparation that you have a specific thing you're going to ask for now. Maybe you're going to pray for the lost, or maybe you're going to pray for some specific thing. But that's the thing you're kind of going to hammer on until you get your answer, right? And so we see this then, that David is saying, "Give ear to my words, O Lord." We see right away who he's praying to. He's praying to Yahweh. He's praying to Jehovah. "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation." And then still asking, he says, "Give heed to the voice of my cry." Now, what kind of a voice is a cry? Usually doesn't have words to it, really. It's just crying out. And so that's a big part of prayer, because the tears in a cry are always heard by the parent, aren't they? When you have a baby and you have a baby crying, don't you kind of, "Ooh, listen, that's my baby," or whatever? Or, you know, there's, when they get a little older, they don't just cry because they got wet diapers. They cry because they skin their finger or hurt their knee or something or other, and you hear this cry, you know, "Mommy, Daddy," whatever. And you pay attention, don't you? And it's not because they're using such grandiose language and they have, you know, wooing you with all kinds of long words and all. They're just, "I hurt myself," you know, or "ow." He says, give heed to my cry. So give ear to my words, consider my meditation, and give heed to the voice of my cry. Then he's addressing to this to whom? My King and my God. And notice the pronouns there. My King and my God. Isn't that awesome? Do you really think when you're praying to God, he's really your God? When we think about the model prayer, what did he say? Our Father. And really at that point in time, I don't think any of the people under the Mosaic Law were really praying to God as a father, at least not our father. He was mighty Jehovah, and he is, and he was awesome and to be feared and respected. But Jesus brings it kind of to a more personal level, our Father who art in heaven. So we see here, my King and my God, for to you what? I will pray. Can you say that every morning? I think one of the secrets of David's excellence here was his daily communal with the Lord. And we hear a lot of pastors say, spend time with the Lord, spend time with the Lord, spend time with the Lord. And that's good. We should be pushing that in a way, in other words. But you can tell who really does that and who is just saying it, right? Where you really get the conviction is from people who are committed to that. And there's some real weight behind their recommendation that you spend time alone with the Lord, because they see the blessing and they see the power in their life and they've experienced it. And that comes through. It's not just do this or do that, but I'm not doing it. That is just weak, isn't it? It never has any power to it. He's saying, for to you I will pray, my voice you shall hear in the morning. That doesn't mean, Lord, you've got to hear me. It means I shall pray to you in the morning. I'm going to be praying to you in the morning. I'm committed to praying to you in the morning. And I don't know how many of you can say that. I'm not asking for it. It's not a guilt trip. Oh, I don't or I do. But the prayer here is, David's including, he will be praying in the morning. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. And then he goes on, in the morning I will direct it to you. That word direct is a very interesting word. It's the same word that you would use in preparing a sacrifice, as you would lay and organize a sacrifice before you give it to the Lord. So David is saying, I want to have my prayer organized and presented before you as I would a sacrifice here. And he says, in the morning, I will direct my prayer to you. So in the morning, I'm going to prepare. In the morning, I'm going to prepare and get it in order and lay it out and pray. I can't say that I use that word direct very well, but maybe I'll start. In the morning, I will direct my prayer. And then what? I will look up, as we sing in the song. Actually, that can be also translated out. Look up, good. That's kind of a worshipful thing. But you're also looking out to see what God is doing and is going to do, and even how he answers your prayer, because you're expecting, right? If I'm praying sincerely, I should be expecting some answers to the prayer, right? Or otherwise, why pray, really? And I will get answers if I'm praying in accordance with his will, right? This is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And that means in keeping with the way Christ would do it. It just doesn't mean I ask for any old thing and I tack on of in Jesus' name on it and it's going to make a big difference. That isn't going to help at all unless it really is in Jesus' name, because it really is what Jesus wants and what the Lord wants. So he said, I will direct it to you. And then going on, he says, for you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy all those who speak falsehood. Aren't you glad when you read the news, if you can stand it? God is going to take care of those things. He will destroy all those who speak falsehood. So what does that make you do? You look at that list. We had that list of California representatives a few weeks ago, whatever it was. They need prayer. They need salvation. They're on their way to destruction. Of course, everybody else is on the way to destruction as well that doesn't know the Lord, really, right? But particularly those who speak falsehood. And then again, a statement, the Lord abhors, he hates the bloodthirsty and the deceitful man. So don't think when we hear all these lies that the Lord doesn't know and the Lord doesn't care. Because he knows and he cares and he hates it. Then the word seven, verse 7, this is the last of the first section here. But, I love it, but. Don't you like but when things are going bad? Yeah. Or when, it's a big contrast word, isn't it? When things in the Bible are going good and you have a but, goes bad. But when you're going bad, but is good, right? Well, here we're talking about the Lord hating the bloodthirsty and deceitful. But as for me, I will come into your house. That would be the tabernacle. There was no temple yet in those days. I will come into your temple or into your house or into your tabernacle in what? The multitude of your mercy. Think about what that means. I believe God has the law, certainly Ten Commandments. It's a specific number, right? But mercies, are they numbered? are God's, you know, I got three more mercies left from God and then I'm out. No, his mercies are innumerable. So David is coming before the Lord now and he's saying, I need mercy. I need mercy. I need unlimited mercy. I come to your house in the multitude of your mercy. And then in fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple, or toward the tabernacle again. And he says, lead me, O Lord. Now he's starting to pray for himself. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. And I almost can see him getting ready to go out the door in a way because he's had this beautiful, sweet time alone with the Lord and it's so glorious. But now he's saying, Lord, I'm going to go out and it's wicked out there. I got a lot of enemies out. And there's a lot of temptations out there that aren't kind of so close here when I'm close to you where I am. So he says, lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. Why? Because of my enemies. I'm going to be face to face with these enemies, people trying to stab me in the back. And King David always had a lot of enemies in because he's king and always had enemies. But lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. Isn't that good? Not mine. Yours. Your righteousness because of my enemies. Make my way or make your way straight before my face. And then he goes back to the wicked again. There is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. Paul will quote that in Romans 3 as he puts a bunch of these psalms together. But their throat is an open tomb. Just think about that for a minute. A closed tomb is bad enough. Even a closed tomb stinks a little bit. But an open tomb is really bad. That is really bad as it gets. And yet their throat is like that. It's just a foul. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. They have oily tongues. They're always saying things that people want to hear. And then he says, pronounce them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions. Why? For they have rebelled against me? No. They have rebelled against you. Awesome, awesome. So many good prayers in the Bible. It's always focused on the Lord. Maybe they all are. Upset because the Lord is, people are coming against him. Not against me, but against him. For they rebelled against you. Now, let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy. Let's hear a shout.
Yes.
Well, that's not much of a shout. I mean, when's the last time you shouted for joy? Well, some of you did right now, but I mean, most of you just sat there looking. What are we doing here? Shouting for joy? What are you talking about? Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let them also who love your name be joyful in you. Are you joyful in the Lord? Most of us need to put a mirror in our pocket and once in a while check our face. Where's your joy in the Lord?
Well, you don't know what I'm going through. Yeah, you don't know.
But where's our joy in the Lord? We see here, let all those who love your name. Do you love the name of the Lord? Then be joyful. And that continually be joyful. I love Philippians that we read those verses there, where it's rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. That's in the active imperative, which means rejoice and keep on rejoicing. Rejoice and keep on rejoicing. Rejoicing constantly. So you got the picture. And then it says, and again, I say to you, rejoice. Isn't that some rejoicing? I mean, you've got it like forever, right? So, and that's very similar to this, I think. Be joyful in you, for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will surround him as with a shield. He is our protector as well. Okay. Well, Father, we thank you for this psalm, and we thank you for the beauty of it and the beauty of writing through King David here, and it's just fits all of us to a degree, I believe, and we need to be praying to you. Help us to pray to you daily, given over to that, where we can say, I shall pray to you in the morning, Lord, or whatever time it would work in each one's case. And so now, Lord, we have a few moments here to pray, so guide us by your Spirit, and we may pray as we should in Jesus' name. So let's pray.
hearken unto the voice of my God, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray.
Thank you for meeting us here this morning, Lord, and thank you for these precious people, Lord, and as you see us right now here praising you and honoring you and the beauty, just the beauty of being with you and watching you work in our lives. And Lord, we just want to be close to you. We know that's what you want. You want that close, continual communication with us in this relationship that we have with you, and that is the key, is the relationship with you. And so guide and bless each, because we not only came, but because we are yours, committed to you, and we do want to shout for joy, Lord, in a humble way. And we thank you for your multitude of mercies, Lord. And we pray for the lost and those who don't have this yet, but we pray that today will be the day of their salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.